This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
I want to talk a little bit about what Mildred's Lane is. I think Aaron said very clearly that it's a pedagogical experiment, and that's very much what it is. The structure of Mildred's Lane, it's in Beech Lake, Pennsylvania, which is on the upper Delaware. It's about 3 hours from here. This is a large 92-plus acre property that originally I bought with J. Morgan Pewitt, Renee Green, and Niels Norman. Renee and Niels have kind of stepped back from that. This has always been an incredibly social and active space. I always think that the idea of Mildred's Lane as a school existed before we formalized that in a way. It's a place where we had our friends come, had a lot of energy around it. The slides you're seeing now are from the original owners of the property, the Steffenses. These are from boxes that were recovered in some of the abandoned buildings when we first moved there. There were several buildings on site, including the Mildred house. That's my favorite photo, needless to say. This is sort of Niels Norman's fantasy scheme of what this property might look like. Even at the beginning, there was the idea that making some kind of artistic intervention into the site would always be the core of what that would be. Mildred's Lane itself now is a sort of high-impact artist residency for younger artists, ideally. And the idea is that that people come for about 3 weeks. They participate in a topic-driven session in which there's either a master artist who runs that session or a series of people who come through and direct that session. The sessions are strongly topic-driven. The session we're going to talk about tonight, the session that generated the sculpture that's in the front room, was a session primarily on the topic of alchemy, in a sense. The idea is artists come and they get their hands dirty. This is still a very rough and ready place. This is not one of the great cushy artist residencies. We often think about this as almost being a kind of anti-Skowhegan, you know. So at Skowhegan, you get a very comfortable place to stay, you get very structured meals, and art celebrities are paraded in front of your studio to tell you how great you are. This really tries to, in some way, take another kind of model to what that could be. It emphasizes working collaboratively. It emphasizes working less in a kind of studio and gallery context, but actually working very much in a extremely discursive and collaborative way. Central to this is the house, which you're seeing images of now. The ethos of the place, again, as I mentioned, is working collaboratively, but also living collaboratively, living together, working on meals together, hosting events together. There's an endless flow of visiting artists and also other types of people who come by. We try to take as much advantage of the rural community we have, which includes very skillful and knowledgeable builders, naturalists, farmers, gardeners, we're attached to the Delaware. The Upper Delaware, of course, is a national park, so parks people. We really do try to use that community as a kind of asset in a way. The entire ethos is very, very socially minded and socially driven. This is quite funny pictures here. We pull a lot of resources from also our friends. So it's not merely a collection of artists who are involved, but there are also writers, architects, musicians. And we increasingly want to build a program in which we do more things we have more sessions for writers, for architects. Mildred's Lane has only been around for, I guess this will be the third season coming up, so it's a very young program. One of the things about going to artist residencies like the Atlantic Center and like Skowhegan is when you go through one of those, you are the 5,000th person who has attended that. And this is really a program that's information, that when you go there, you have a great influence on shaping what this place can be and what this place, how this place will eventually end up, and forming that and directing that. And I think that that kind of freshness is something we're very, very keen, Morgan and I are very keen on continuing. An important aspect of Mildred's Lane is Morgan Pewitt's notion of work styles. And that's an idea that every aspect of your living in a space and an environment is essentially an extension of your artistic visual practice. And so that even, she takes it to such extremes that even the refrigerator must be an aesthetic experience. So she curates the refrigerator, and heaven help the Mildred Lane fellow who thinks they can just put their carton of milk anywhere they want. So that's an important aspect, is that there is a certain amount of hyper aesthetic training in the process, which I think is a kind of interesting dynamic to the Mildred Lane experience. A lot of the people who come through are largely artists, designers, architects, writers who we've had connections to over many decades. So we're close enough to New York to use that as a resource, and then we're also perfectly situated in a really rich rural environment in which there are a lot of artists who have places there as well. So we're constantly pulling from those people. We have a very scheduled program of things that happen, but there's also a lot of serendipity. A lot of people kind of stop by. So someone like John Kessler or Kenneth Frampton or somebody like that might just drop in, and suddenly we handcuff them to the table and they have to make a presentation. So it's an important thing that it is a very, very dynamic a very dynamic situation. This year, there are three programs that are being offered at Mildred's Lane. One of them is a continuation of the program that was started last year, which was about researching a pond, in which Morgan Pewitt and Natalie Jermajenko, along with David Brooks, came up with this concept of looking at what it would take to build a pond on this property. And from Natalie Jermajenko's direction, she was very interested in the idea that this pond would actually emphasize human-animal interactions. So a great amount of the technical and legal research into what it would take to build a pond was done last year, meeting with the Department of Environmental Resources, meeting with engineers, testing the soil, getting permits and things like that. That's something that's going to continue this year, wrapped into a general category of land. So a project which looks very much at the opportunities this land provides. That includes everything from meeting with foragers who take us on these kind of magical mushroom tours, not literally magical mushroom tours, but tours through the forest, looking at the kind of edible fungi and other plants, to also to questions about gardening. We're surrounded by a lot of the organic farms that supply New York and Philadelphia, and we have very strong connections to those. Those people are also the people who provide the food, the basis for the meals that we have. Another aspect, the second project we're doing is going to be in association with Tufts University. It's called Renovating Walden, and it will be also connected to an exhibition at Tufts in which we will look at the Walden pond cabin as a quintessential American architectural archetype. And so that will involve a kind of research project on the history of Walden, on the Transcendentalist, also looking at the Thoreau's cabin as a folly, as a kind of architectural model, as a philosophical model. And that will culminate with working with the participants at Tufts University to rebuild a replica of Walden Cabin, but also to take replica of Walden Cabin, to use those materials to build something entirely different. So take the same basis of that, but to renovate that into a contemporary useful space. These are some of what you're looking at now are some of the projects that were done. That was Amy Yose's project that was originally done at Socrates Sculpture Park. This is a project by Diana Belmore and Brian Tull, in which Brian turned this kind of macho macho truck into a planter. So as the truck was doing wheelies through the field, not wheelies, but donuts through the field, it was also planting seeds. And so so by August, you saw the fruits of that incredible off-roading macho experience turned into something very, very different, which was a kind of a map of the route that had been taken, which materialized in flowers. There are, every Saturday, there are extremely vibrant public art and meal presentations. So a visiting artist will come, do a series of lectures, do a presentation, and then that will be followed by an extremely elaborate meal, which the fellows from Mildred's Lane helped conceptualize and, more importantly perhaps, helped to materialize as a theatrical event. This is one of the first projects that was done at Mildred's Lane called Mildred Archaeology. We worked with an architectural historian named Piper, who came in and looked at the structure of the old house there, which starts more or less in the 1820s, and then has numerous renovations through the Depression and later on up until this point. So trying to peel back the layers of this house to make it visible. The final culmination of that was an installation in the basement in which the destroyed ruin of the farmer's workshop was entirely cleaned out and then reinstalled in a sort of idealized version based on what was found there. So land is always very much the raw material. The land and the buildings that exist there, as well as the communities that exist there, are kind of the raw material to develop exciting new projects and interventions. Some of the some things that we do at Mildred Lane, rather than doing, always seems like there's a lot of bonfires. Some of the things that we do there, also in addition to hosting these larger scale 3-week seminars and 3-week workshops, is that we have single events. So and we have schools that come just for 4 days or a week or something like that. So we'll have things like Hope Ginsburg will bring her students from Richmond for, say, a Halloween weekend or something like that. Or Mel Ziegler will bring his students from Vanderbilt for a week-long seminar. So it's also possible to design shorter, more focused visits than the 3-week seminars. What's really important for us, though, is that something gets left behind, you know. A large part of what we're going to talk about tonight for the Alchemy Project was that we were intended to build a large structure designed by the artist Robert Williams. Last year, I think, as you know, it was the third wettest summer in recorded history in this area. And so the construction that we intended to do was thwarted by the weather. One of the, I think, difficult things about Mildred's Lane is that it is quite a somewhat rough place. The weather there can be quite extreme. And in this case, the weather really beat us in terms of our intentions of constructing this building. The final project that's going to be presented this year, the final session, is called Retail 21st Century. And that's a project that people like Hope Ginsburg, Morgan Pewitt, Christine Hill, a number of artists have been working on, who work on this kind of these issues of commerce, retail, and art production right now, and how art relates to and how art negotiates capital at this moment. So that's an ongoing research project, part of which will materialize as an exhibition at the Queen's Museum. So one of the things that's happened through this process of Mildred's Lane is that we've continually the sessions have partnered with institutions beyond that. So it's become quite normal that the projects that go on there, the sessions that go on there, have another kind of life in an exhibition world, very much like what's happening here tonight. So that things don't just stay there. This is other exhibitions that happened in Chelsea. So things don't just stay there, but rather they have this expanded experience. So one of the nice things about that is that the fellows who attend this, who live for 3 weeks in a very intense, close way, have other opportunities to get together and to continue a discussion that begins on site outside. And so that's the friendships that are made during this very intense residency do have a longer life, and they do have, I think, a core to people's artistic practice at the very beginning of their professional life. It's really important for me that productive hanging out is a really central thing in the Mildred Lane experience. As I teach a lot, and I teach at various schools, and what's really clear to me is that most school art programs at this point intensely discourage the student-teacher relationship beyond the classroom. And I'm not really sure that you can teach art that way. So one of the things that we really do emphasize is that this is a really 24/7 project, that there's a great deal of contact with the people who are visiting, with the faculty, and even if they're not necessarily always on site, when they are on site, that there's a lot of contact hours, there's a lot of time spent, and that essentially that's a quite longer commitment than just the program itself, that we have every expectation that the people who come to Mildred's Lane will continue their affiliation with us as friends into their artistic career. Food is an enormously important aspect of Mildred's Lane. We're always working on really experimental food things. There are lots of really interesting attempts to try new things. Students are very involved. They're not at all passively involved in the food thing. They are very actively involved in planning conceptual meals, in organizing conceptual meals, and doing the hard work of making those meals. And that also includes learning a lot about food production. As I said, in that community, we have this great these great resources of naturalists and farmers who we have a very tight relationship with. Some of the ongoing projects include a survey of the land that we're working on now, which will include the production of a kind of field guide. These are some of the things to come. We're going to build a grotto. We're going to build a bear den. There are black bears there. We're trying to encourage the black bears to stay. So that's one of the projects that's up and coming. The meals and their are extreme events. They are really experimental. They involve a lot of creativity, not only in the foods that are consumed, but also in the methods of presentation, questions of timing. There is one chef who makes who coordinates everything, and then there are special food events. So it's quite difficult to get the kinks out of feeding that many people day after day, but somehow it seems to work. Before I conclude this, I just want to say that I urge you all to go on to the website right here. And there are 3 sessions that are still open. The deadline has passed, but we're still accepting. You don't have to pay attention to the deadline. So if you are really interested, we're still open. I think only the middle section is closed at this point, but I'm not entirely sure about that. And so we are still accepting applications. Thanks. Okay, are you going to... switch places.